opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport, and this is Get Fit Louisville.
We were designed to run. Let us talk to you a little bit more about what you're trying to accomplish and how you can best get there. That's the thing. That's why VO2 is here.
Welcome to Get Fit Louisville. Whether it's biking, running, or swimming, Jeff and Angie can help you get the most out of each breath. Listen up, Louisville. It's time to get fit.
There's a reason why Jeff and I have dedicated so many different programs or parts of our program to bicycling in Louisville. It seems to be at the forefront of public discussion. It's certainly been in the news. So it's our pleasure, and we're excited to have Rolf Eisinger, who's the bicycle and pedestrian coordinator of the Department of Public Works for Louisville Jefferson County. It's a mouthful, Rolf, but welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
And let's just start, just in a nutshell, what is your role as that coordinator?
So there are a number of things, from helping teach our youth how to ride bicycles, launching public service announcements about rules of the road, not only for bicyclists, but pedestrians and motorists as well, writing grants, putting in bike lanes, working with law enforcement. So kind of got the gamut going on, but have a lot of great departments and people helping Louisville become more bike and pedestrian friendly for sure.
How long have you been a bicyclist?
Oh, that's a great question. As long as I can remember, being a little kid, being able to ride my bike to swing lessons or tennis lessons or to school. I really, 6 years old, 8 years old, somewhere in there probably.
Now, as someone then who obviously, I mean, this is a mode of transportation for you and very natural one, how do you feel about riding on the streets, not only just in our city, but in our county?
That's a good question. I mean, we have three different levels of cyclists. We usually put people into A, B, and C. A are people who are, like myself, I'll ride on any road, any time, very confident and trained. And then you have people who are more maybe like my wife, who are more of a C, would like to prefer to ride on shared use paths, not in traffic, or if there is traffic, on low traffic streets, we're calling them neighbor ways, that still provide connection from somebody's house to a destination, as well as kids. And then you got the B riders who, you know, they'll ride bike lanes, shared use paths for sure. But, you know, they're not going to get on a Shelbyville road in rush hour, you know, and we completely understand that. But Louisville, you know, we've come a long ways for sure in the last few years. And I think communities around the country, as you see, are putting in bike infrastructure and seeing more and more people out there riding. So we understand that. Studies show there's 60% of people who are interested but are concerned with safety. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the 60% we're targeting with these different bike facilities on the road. And we're seeing that even on Kentucky and Breckenridge Street. I ride it daily and I talk to people, go out of my way to ride this street, right? Yeah. And I talk to people who say, yeah, you know, I would never have thought about riding my bike from the Highlands down to Spalding or, you know, wherever they may work until we saw the bike lanes. And now they're ditching their car and riding, you know, during the summertime or, you know, maybe even in the wintertime. So,
okay, well, number of issues that we want to talk about. The first one, absolutely bike lanes. And, Jeff, I mean, I think you have much interest in this topic.
Well, you know, I think it's an interest because of people who come through the shop every day and some of the questions that they have, they ask me, and I don't have all of the knowledge. I mean, obviously, you know, we can direct to the website. But I think it's good to, you know, to have Rolf here just to kind of, you know, discuss some of that. And I think one of the questions that came up the other day was, I think the grand plan, you know, that was the, one of the questions that basically was, you know, we were chatting outside the shop and there were some cyclists out there and I think maybe there's, that was one of the questions they asked. I don't want to say a confusion, but just a question that they asked, you know, kind of what's the overall plan for Louisville and which direction and how are we getting there and, you know, I guess that's the education part of it that you kind of just mentioned just now, is educating everybody what we're trying to do with the bike lanes.
Sure. So back in 2009, we hosted a bicycle summit where 200 plus people attended. And those people really provided the backbone and the building blocks to the current bicycle master plan that we have today that really spells out not only infrastructure, but also education, encouragement like Bike to Work Day, Cycluvia, enforcement efforts, and evaluation where we're counting our bicyclists on the road. So when we put a facility in, what we want to do is do a pre-count of how many bikes are using this road right now, and then put the bike lane in, the intervention, and then follow up with post-tests with, you know, understanding how many bicyclists are on the road, as well as we're looking at traffic speeds, average daily traffic, crash history. So some of those things are metrics, too, when we're looking at putting these facilities in. But as for, you know, Grand Plan, that's a great place to start. We're also going through the Move Louisville process and collecting additional comments about how our city can be not only more bicycle-friendly but more transit-friendly and more pedestrian-friendly. So we're, you know, taking in comments for that big effort, and that will fold in kind of with the bike master plan, or the bike master plan and ped master plan will fold into that, and that'll be kind of the grand plan, if you will. But then having said that, we do have opportunities when we're repaving roads that if we can put a bike lane in during a repaving process, it's our complete streets policy. So we try and capitalize on those low-hanging fruit, if you will. So
I have to ask, at that summit, I mean, who are these people? Are they just regular average residents like us, or are they people you brought in? Are they experts?
So we brought in several experts, national experts, to be keynote speakers. But then it was open to the general public.
Okay.
So, you know, we promoted it. Humana helped sponsor it. So we had, you know, number of people who could show up, come on in. But that was several years ago. And I know that this past January, we hosted the 2014 bike kickoff event where we had, I don't know, like 300 some people come on out on a cold January night. I know it just, you know, snowed a bunch, whatever. So it was great to have that kind of turnout. The mayor spoke. Bicycling for Louisville spoke, Louisville Loop, and obviously myself kind of talking about what was coming up this next spring and going into the summer, especially since the mayor and Metro Council approved, you know, the $300,000 for bike facilities. So before that, we didn't have a whole lot of funding. We had federal funds, but when you're dealing with federal funds, you're dealing with a longer time period, and putting things in could be 2 to 5 years.
Right.
So with this, you know, other funding mechanism, we were able to really put in some facilities that got on the ground pretty quickly with plenty of public input and involvement. We can get into more of that later if you like. But yeah, so that's kind of the good spot to start would be our website.
Something that I think Jeff and I have talked about repeatedly is, okay, so 2009, you have this summit. 5 years later, here we are. And all of a sudden, at least seemingly all of a sudden, see these bike lanes popping up, and bike lanes that maybe are things we have not seen before. And I think there is some frustration on both sides of bicyclists and those who do not bike in terms of what in the world am I supposed to do with these, and how, where is that education supposed to come from?
That's a great question, too. So starting as early as next week, we're doing a PSA with Metro TV, and I'll be out there on a bike. We're going to do some I guess, riding in the bike lane, the do's and the don'ts. But a lot of the rules of the road, or I should say the rules of the road, are on our website. So if there's a bike lane, motorists are not supposed to ride in the bike lane. Bicyclists, obviously, we want you to ride there, but we understand that if there's debris or an obstacle, a parked car, hopefully not, but, you know, a stalled car, we should say,
right.
You can move into that driving lane, and motorists, they should be aware that it's okay for a bicycle to do that. They are a vehicle under you know, in Kentucky. So,
and speaking of that, that website is just louisvilleky.gov/bike-louisville. And I mean, it wasn't until we asked if you would come on the show, I had no idea this existed. You know, it's a great resource for people.
Yes, it's actually it's one of the websites that gets probably the top 5-10 websites on Metro Government's website that gets that many hits, if you will, people going to it. So it's a really pretty popular website, but you know, how do we share that with people who don't know it's there? You know, we continue to try and do events like the Cycluvia Bike to Work Day, the 2014 bike kickoff event, you know, trying to get the name out of Bike Louisville and what we're doing and promoting. So, you know, with the number of different radio interviews or TV interviews or in the Courier Journal, we oftentimes obviously try and drive people to the website. But you're right. Not everybody knows about it. And we can do more to help that. But with, you know, limited resources, et cetera, right. It's what we have. Sure. We're doing the best we can. So, but yeah.
And I mean, you're saying that you're doing the best you can. And right now you guys are really kind of on the hot seat. You know, I mean, I mean, people maybe need to be a little more empathetic about it. I mean, it's a big job to tackle, to try to, you're moving thinking, you know, you're changing culture here.
Very much so. Yeah. And we don't want to do it too aggressively.
Right.
But, you know, we understand that there's a certain percentage of the population who, you know, can't drive, either they're too young or they, you know, don't have the means. So by providing an alternative form of transportation, you know, that's what, you know, one reason why we're trying to put these facilities on the ground will do. And with the funding, we can do that. Prior to that, we focused quite a bit of attention on education, encouragement, you know, evaluation efforts, if you will. We have a great youth cycling safety program called Bike Sense, and it's in the schools. We've taught thousands of kids. I think we've reached over a quarter of JCPS's elementary school students. So this is a five-day on-bike curriculum that kids get to learn about how to put a helmet on, how to start smooth and how to start smoothly and stop smoothly, how to negotiate a four-way intersection, which obviously sometimes some adults have a hard time doing, right? And then on top of that, we've done a lot of the bike to work day kinds of events, the mayor's hike bike paddles, the, you know, Cicluvias that I talked about before. So, you know, that's where initially some of our efforts were, just because we could do it. We're a bronze level bicycle friendly community, according to the League of American Bicyclists, and we're really trying to get to silver. And one of their big recommendations was, you know, you really need to get more people out there riding. And, you know, when we posted our survey last fall, where we had over 550 people take it, we saw that facilities, you know, people wanted bike lanes with buffers, more separation from cars, if you can get me away from cars, better. Or if there's a street that has low speeds, low traffic, let's try and put some facilities on that, like our neighborways. So a shared lane marking that says, you know, hey, cyclist, you know, you can be in the middle of this lane. We don't have room for a bike lane, but we don't necessarily need it because, again, it's a neighborhood street. Cars should be going 25 mile an hour or lower traffic volumes, but yet still provide that connectivity to their residents, to, you know, where they want to go, either work or play or, you know, an errand or whatever. So,
Jeff, I mean, as the owner of VO2 Multisport, you see people of all different athletic abilities, et cetera. What do you think are the biggest reasons why more people aren't biking?
They're lazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, in all honesty, I do hear, you know, the concerns from people. You know, they want to ride, but they don't feel comfortable in traffic. Now, we're fortunate. You know, we're a mile outside of Seneca and Cherokee Park. That's not the easiest place for people to cycle that are newbies, because Cherokee Park's hilly. So it might tax them a little bit more than what they want. But not all of our customers come from St. Matthews either. And I think that's the biggest thing that we see. You know, it's really people probably would bike more, you know, but it's there's a safety concern, mm-hmm. for them. And that's what I hear a lot. And obviously you have your different levels of cyclists, and you've got your A-class, you know, cyclists who will ride everywhere and they don't really care and they know the rules. And, you know, then you've got your lower levels that are, you know, beginners and trying to learn and wanting to put more time into it. And I think it just boils down to a little bit of, you know, educating them, but also helping them feel, you know, safe. And I think, you know, some of the things that, you know, that were brought up, or, you know, building the buffers in the bike lanes is huge. And I know it's difficult when you add a bike lane to existing infrastructure, you kind of just crowd people in. And I think that kind of, you know, stresses people a little bit, because at the end of the day, you know, a cyclist is never going to win versus a vehicle. You just don't win. It's too much weight. You know, the physics just don't work out in your favor. And I think that's, you know, and you hear about people that, you know, that are killed cycling, or they were hit cycling, and you know, people are just, you know, a little leery of it. But I think as we, you know, we try to educate people more, and we build the different types of bike lanes, or add, you know, bike lanes to repaving projects, I think you'll start to see more people get involved. But at the end of the day, I think it's, you know, getting people out there and getting them to do it, getting them on the bike is key. But, you know, also the only way to get them on there is make them feel safe. I mean, that's just what I hear.
And to make people feel safe, it's one thing to have a program for kids to help them But and I think there's maybe a little bit of embarrassment of that. I'm an adult. We've been talking about biking forever. I finally told Jeff last week I'm going to buy. I haven't ridden a bike since I was on a red 10 speed and my mom hit me with her car. It was not intentional, but, you know, that kind of was dissuaded happens. Me from she slipped on gravel on her car. And that was the last time I pretty much was on a bike. But now I'm ready. I mean, they're closing the Second Street Bridge. I live across the bridge, and an easy thing to do would be to come from across on the Big Four Bridge. I mean, I'm excited about it, but I'm also – I don't have that confidence that the two of you have, and I am concerned about my safety. So you offer a class. I mean, would I be – can I go into a class and hang out with the, you know, 6- and 7-year-olds and learn?
Well, I don't know about that, but the Louisville Bicycle Club, all right, they've had so far – one, they're starting their cycling class. They'll graduate over 150 adults through their Road 101 course.
So they literally offer something like that
there
for
people
like me.
There is an adult education bicycle class out there. And it's just not for people who, you know, maybe like you who, you know, are really brand new to cycling, right? We also want to target those cyclists who may think they know the rules of the road, right? But they're chronic offenders of blowing stop signs, red lights, or, you know, swerving in and out of cars, et cetera, right? That's that, you know, those are kind of the few bad apples that give the rest of us kind of a bad name. And we hear it often. It's either, oh, you know, that cyclist or that motorist. But, you know, the reality is most cyclists, almost all cyclists, are also motorists too, right? So we got to coexist, and we have to all make sure we share the road and follow the rules of the road together. I see motorists oftentimes rolling through stop signs, going right on red when you're not supposed to, right? Speeding. You know, how many times have we, you know, seen motorists speed on the interstate? But, you know, oftentimes it's easy to point out, oh, that cyclist or whatever, right, or vice versa. But we got to understand that we're really talking about the same group of people for the most part. You know, yes, I'm a cyclist. I'm also a father, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm a motorist. I drive my daughter partway to daycare. I drop her off, I get my bike out of the car, and I ride the rest of the way into work, right? It doesn't have to be an all-or-nothing thing either for riding. So, you know, if you live across the river, maybe you can drive and park at the base of the Big Four Bridge and then ride the rest of the way in. So, and the other piece of this is we have a printed bike map out there, too, that, you know, really helps people understand, you know, where the bike routes are and how to get from one point to another. Mm-hmm. Working on a reprint now. So if you go to their local bike shop and they're out, we're coming up with a reprint. We want to get these new facilities in before we do that reprint, so it has those. But that's another tool.
But that's
that
something we can
have.
Pick up at VO2 Multisport as well.
We do have them there.
Well, answer this then, just once and for all. Then, if you're talking about, I mean, it's just two different types of motorists. Are there any rules that cars have to abide by, or people driving cars have to abide by, that bicyclists are exempt from?
You know, bicycles are considered vehicles. Therefore, both have to share equal rules. Obviously, when you talk, or if you're talking about the interstates, bicycles and pedestrians are prohibited on those interstates. In other states, I believe it's different. But, you know, at the end of the day, we all have the same rules, and we all have to follow them. So if you're in a car and you stop that stop sign, great. So when you're on a bike, you also have to make sure that you're stopping at that stop sign or red light.
So how often, though? I mean, if I'm speeding in certain areas of town, maybe it depends on the time of month, you know, I'm in my car or doing something illegal, I have a chance of being pulled over by an officer. So are there officers whose sole intention is to watch for bicyclists who are also violating laws?
You know, we have officers out there all the time. I'm not an LMPD officer, but,
right,
you know,
sure,
we work
sure.
with them. And obviously they try and do their best as to enforce all the rules of the road, you know, not singling out one group over another, but if they see somebody do something, you know, enforce it, but understand too that there may be other things going on in the background that, you know, if a motorist is parked there and sees a police officer ahead of them and sees a bicyclist, you know, roll through a stop sign, is wondering why the officer didn't pull him over. They may be off duty. They may be going somewhere else to another, you know, more serious situation. I'm not saying blowing a stop sign isn't serious, but, you know, so there are those things too. But, you know, if we could take it upon ourselves, you know, to alleviate that issue of, you know, having officers pull us over, why not, right? I mean, oftentimes people say, oh, everybody speeds through my neighborhood, right? I got to get cars to slow down through my neighborhood. I don't like cars speeding in front of my house. But this is – our community is our overall neighborhood, right? So, you know, we got to make sure that we're going the speed limit. We're following the rules of the road. And I think if we do that, we'll coexist quite a bit better in the future.
What about educating officers? I mean, Jeff had an interesting experience that – I mean, if you'd like to share where –
Yeah, I mean, I actually had one. It was out in Oldham County, and we were riding, you know, two abreast, and we weren't really doing anything, you know, wrong, because you're allowed to ride two abreast in the state of Kentucky. And he accosted us over this. I mean, pulled up next to us while we were trying to ride, which now he's in the wrong by being next to us with oncoming traffic on a two-lane road, telling us that we need to be single file. And I was like, well, that's not necessarily the case. But so I think that's one of the things that really stuck with me. It's like, we've got to do a better job even educating our officers about, and I mean, they do a good job. I'm taking nothing away. It just happened to be in Oldham County, and it could have been in Jefferson County. They didn't know either, but it was very interesting to me that I had someone that he was actually holding up traffic behind us by being next to us, you know, telling me that I need to be single file, that we were creating a situation. I was like, I didn't realize we were. So very frustrating, I think, as a cyclist, but I'm also a motorist as well. I think it's that, you know, that's what you said it, you know, perfectly. I mean, we kind of have to coexist, because I guarantee you not every cyclist is out there riding every single day. They're probably getting in their car and driving from A to B. You know, they tend to be a little more understanding of cyclists because they ride, I think. But I see them do, you know, I see them get on their bikes. I see them blow stop signs all the time. I mean, I see it every day. So, yeah, I think that's, you know, one of the situations that occurred, you know, with me, and I think educating people is probably the biggest thing. And we've said that many times on the show, is, you know, how to fix a lot of the issues that we have, and it's really just that at the end of the day, just educating everybody. So
that education is a big piece. Again, Oldham County, not sure, but I know at Jefferson County with LMPD specifically, we work very closely on ensuring that they're up to date on the rules of the road. If there are questions they have, they have direct contact to me through a liaison, and we work very closely with them on that, ensuring that they do know the rules of the road. And if there are issues, we'll bring them up and we'll figure it out. Right. So,
recently, WDRB's general manager and president Bill Lamb issued one of his points of view that was surrounding bicycling. I'd like to go over a few of the points, and I'm just going to read this verbatim what he also said on air, and that is, bicyclists are getting a lot more attention than usual in Louisville. Full lanes on some Louisville streets were recently restricted to bikes only in order to make two-wheeled commuting downtown safer. Is that true?
So Kentucky and Breckenridge Street, I believe, okay, are the streets that he's probably referring to. And initially there were three lanes of traffic during rush hour, if you will.
Okay.
Right? And when you
and for that, that's because one, like, you can't park on the street.
It is restricted parking.
Okay.
Correct. So during rush hour, you can't park there.
Yep.
Right? But then when rush hour is over, then, you know, you can start parking along it. So it's down to two. But when we were looking at the traffic volumes, we're realizing, hey, like, this road, if studies show that if you have overcapacity, what you're going to do is increase speed through people's, you know, neighborhoods, mm-hmm, if you will, right? Nobody likes speeding in a neighborhood. And two, you encourage then motorists to kind of ping-pong back and forth between vehicles, trying to, you know, go faster, right? So what we're trying to do with this treatment is make the road safer for all road users, therefore ensuring that people are doing the speed limit, slowing down, not speeding and going in and out of cars, while also providing a great facility for bicyclists that connect them from the Highlands all the way downtown through Old Louisville, Spalding, JCTC area. So really providing kind of the backbone of our urban bike network, though, you know, from downtown Old Louisville and to U of L. So
if someone hasn't been down there, and I know Jeff definitely has, and I've ridden out there, but if you hadn't lived in that area, you wouldn't necessarily know what this was, what had been created. So now, during rush hour, there are two lanes for cars.
There are two lanes, and we encourage people not to park when they're not supposed to.
Okay. But there's one lane for bikes, two lanes for cars.
Correct.
Okay. And one of the things that we've heard people, especially people who are, you know, very conscientious bicyclists, talk about with the two lanes, if someone's trying to make a turn, mm-hmm, for some reason, some people seem incapable of making that turn without entering the bike lane, which is frightening.
Great. I'm glad you brought that up. So a couple things. One is the bike lane ends and it becomes a skip stripe. Okay, so A, you're not supposed to cross a solid white line like the bike lane lines. You're not supposed to be in the bike lane, right, because you're crossing the solid white line. But at the intersection, it becomes skip.
What does that mean?
A skip stripe. Mm-hmm. It goes from a solid white line
right
to now it's no longer solid and it's skipped.
Okay.
So that means that you as a motorist can move over into that skip area to make your left turn.
So you are allowed.
You're allowed at okay that point to make the left turn. What we don't want is for a motorist to drive in the bike lane,
mm-hmm,
you know, on the curb inside lane, and then, you know, try and, you know, beat everybody to the intersection and make the turn. So what we've installed today are some delineator posts at 4th and Breckenridge that would help prevent that treatment that okay or that, you mm-hmm know, behavior that we don't want. That would help prevent, you know, two people making a left turn and not knowing what's going
right
on.
Regardless, though, if you're out there on a bike, I mean, whether you're out there in a car, you want to make sure. I mean, people make left-hand turns and clip somebody else, you know, in a car all the time. Okay, so when you, what do you call those little?
They're delineator posts.
Delineator posts. So I'm just going to use
post.
They're these little things that stick up in the
street.
I think
a description, or if they're similar. It makes
they're
not
sense
spaced as close, but they're similar to have them.
Yes.
You cannot go around the track because they have these posts just
yes
like that. They collapse over. They'll pop back up. But you literally have to drive through these posts to go around railroad crossing. I think they're putting them in almost every railroad cross intersection. They're just yellow instead of the white like you
yep
all have.
And then also on Main Street when you can actually come toward traffic when they had to do that traffic change.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I-65 on the mm-hmm bridge. Remember we heard all the
yes
conversation about them getting run over and they had to go put them back up.
Right.
I don't know if you're familiar with.
Yes.
I remember that. But
so, okay. So that hopefully will make things.
Yeah. Hopefully that will discourage the behavior that we don't want and encourage the behavior that we do want, which is, you know, merge into that mm-hmm skipped area to make your left turn. Watch out for cyclists. Cyclists, watch out for vehicles. First come, first serve. And we'll all get along.
Which makes sense. Also, going back to Bill Lamb's point of view, something he brought up, which has definitely been in the news, the Metro Council is considering an ordinance that would tax cyclists through a licensing fee, and he thinks this is a good idea for a variety of reasonings. There's a cost, obviously, to all of this. Riders who use them should offset the expense to a greater extent, he said. He said kids should be exempt, but adults who put their bikes on city streets should have to license them just like they do their cars. If you add another car to your garage, you expect to pay to have it licensed. A bike is another vehicle it should be licensed to. And again, I'm quoting from his point of view. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, initially, it may sound like a good idea, though. We're going to continue to research what other cities have done, but mm-hmm often it has not worked as well as initially thought it would in other communities. So we're going to go and hear from other communities who have tried this route, check it out, and share our lessons learned. But, you know, if a couple things we can talk about. The cost.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I know that motorists register their vehicles, right, and they pay gas tax. One that we talked about before, most cyclists are already motorists, right? So we're already paying X amount of money, all right? Two, what is it, 50 cents on the dollar is maybe going to covering the wear and tear on our road system. So even though you're paying for gas and you're registering your car, it's not coming anywhere close to fixing or replacing our public roadway system. And three, these are public roadways. It's open to the public. They're not just for cars. These are our public spaces, and, you know, how can we best utilize them? Again, not everybody owns a car, so therefore should they be prohibited from using these public spaces? Pedestrians, children, seniors, or, you know, people who aren't able to afford a car or choose not to, right? I mean, the easiest way to give yourself a raise essentially is stop driving as much, right? AAA estimates upwards around people spend upwards around $9,000 a year on their car with oil changes, maintenance, whatever. But if you can offset, you know, one or two of your days driving on a bike, then you can pocket some of that. In addition to that, you know, bicyclists, I'd love to see the wear and tear comparison of like a bike on a road compared to a car,
right?
So therefore, I mean, from my perspective, if I am able to offset my vehicle wear and tear on the road by swapping out and riding my bike, that should be a huge win for our city. Our roads last a lot longer then. And that doesn't even talk about the health aspect of this, right? I mean, obviously we know our community is unhealthy. 60-70% are overweight or obese, okay? We're always at the bottom of the list, it sounds like, with health status income. Health status. And this is just one way to help offset some of those costs. If you bring those not as direct costs in the equation, it's hard to make that argument. And the other point about I can leave it at that. But if you had any other thoughts about registering vehicle, we'll look into it. What the council was asking, requesting, and we'll see what other cities have done. What makes sense? What makes sense for our community? And we'll see where it goes.
Well, it's really interesting, just the feedback from his point of view that he's asking for people to comment, and it's divided. But one of the things that I've heard over and over, and I know Jeff has heard this as well, certain streets, should they be restricted at certain points of time to bicyclists? For instance, cyclists on River Road during weekday rush hours. I mean, if you ever encounter that on Facebook, for instance, I mean, I've seen people just spew some very, very angry thoughts about that. So, I mean, what do you do there? These people have a right on the road just as motorists do.
They're public right of ways. They're open to pedestrians, bicyclists, motorists. At the end of the day, we're one community. We all got to get along. And oftentimes that motorist is, again, a bicyclist on River Road, or they are an executive, or they're, working at the coffee shop, or, they're a life and blood of our city. So people out there either driving or riding bikes, we just need to coexist and understand that the people out there are, maybe they don't have a choice. Maybe they're riding to get to work to help our local economy. Maybe they're out there exercising to help bring down the healthcare costs for our community. Maybe they're trying to be a role model and, show others they can ride it's sad to hear some of those, comments. Maybe some are trolling. I don't know, but
I won't drop any names here, but I will say that one of the people, I'm just looking at a comment here, and he's not the only person who made that, but is a pretty prominent lawyer in the city, and definitely someone I know who this person is, and it's not somebody who's hiding behind, some faux name or something. So, I mean, I think those really are, everybody's voice needs to be heard, but at some point you do have to, you just make the laws and the ordinances and the regulations, and everybody, like you said, we all have to get along.
Currently bicycles are considered vehicles, so, they can ride otherwise where they're not restricted, which are the interstates. If you want to use River Road as an interstate, there's I-64, 71, there are other roads to accommodate the fast speeds. And this is our county's only scenic byway, by the way. I don't know if people are familiar with that. This is a scenic byway. So take it for what it's worth.
Absolutely.
That's good. I mean, I think, and I'll be the first to say this as a shop owner, there are a million ways to get from, to do the East End Loop. A lot of people call it the East End Loop when they're cycling, besides going down River Road. Right now it is. We have fixed more bikes because of River Road, just because it's very broken up and cobbled right now. The roadway's not in good shape, so it forces the cyclist out into the middle of the road a lot of times, which really slows traffic down. And I will say this as a cyclist: there are other routes. I would highly recommend just finding another route, because you're probably going to end up in my shop with a broken spoke, flat tire, busted bike, or you might wreck, because it has towards the end of it down, towards Wolfpin and stuff, it's gotten really bad in some areas down there. And I would encourage people, you know, to stay off that as a cyclist. Unless you just want to be down there, and that's fine. If it's your only mode of transportation and you've got to go to work, and maybe you work down there, that's great. I completely understand that. I stand behind you 100%. But if you don't have to be down there, there are other ways to get to from A to B and not beat your equipment up so bad as well. But no, I think this has been great. I really do. I mean, it's filled me in as a shop owner, so it gives me some educational tools to, give to a lot of my customer base, places they can go look and kind of the overall game plan. And people will listen to this podcast, and it'll give them a good overview of what you guys are doing. I think it's big. It's huge.
Ralph, just a couple of other quick things. One, this Louisville Bicycle Club Road 101, which clearly once I buy my bike from VO2 Multisport and Jeff helps me out and I get a little bit of confidence, I need to take the class. So how do people sign up for something like that?
Great question. If you just Google Louisville Bicycle Club, mm-hmm. go to their ride schedule. They have organized rides every day of the year.
Okay. It's insane.
For all different levels, which is awesome, including multiple classes throughout the year. Sure. So if one time the season doesn't work well for you, there'll be another one. And they have ride captains and cue sheets. So you're never just left out there, on the road. They take really good care of you. If you want to get more involved with the advocacy or better understanding about biking here in Louisville, the Bicycling for Louisville is mm-hmm. our advocacy group here in town. Both groups, including several others, Kimba, and, it's just amazing how much cycling there is here in Louisville, with the Big Four Bridge opening up, with Cyclocross Worlds, with BMX, with mm-hmm. all their competitions they've put on, Tour de Lou that just started up, with the Derby Festival, Mayor's Hike, Bike, Paddle. I mean, it's amazing that, there's that much going on. It's hard for one person to get their arms all the way around, all the things cycling in Louisville.
Well, and I think that's one thing that people have to realize. I mean, cycling's it's here, and it's here to stay, and it's not mm-hmm. going anywhere. It's just continuing to grow. And I think, getting back to the educational piece and the working with the motorists and helping them to understand, I mean, we've all got to share the road together. And we're all, enjoying that, aspect of what we enjoy doing. And, there's plenty of times I've gotten up and I'm rushed to get somewhere, and then I get behind the cyclist, and I'm frustrated. I'm like, hang on, I'm a cyclist. Why am I frustrated? I'm the one who left late at the end of the day. So, I think it's here to stay, and I think there's a lot of great things that are going on in Louisville. I mean, we just had Alec on last week mm-hmm. from the Mega Caverns with the whole bike park they're putting underground, which is crazy. So, there's just a lot of cool stuff going on in the town, and I think I'm looking forward to what the town looks like 5 years from now. I think it'll be drastically different than what it is now.
I'm ready to get on board and get on a bike.
Good.
Ralph, thank you so much for taking the time. Obviously, you are a very, very busy man, so we appreciate it.
Well, thank you for this opportunity. This is great, and that's another way that we can get the word out about educating motorists, cyclists, all road users. So thank you.
Again, that our guest today, Ralph Eisinger with the Department of Public Works. He's a bicycle and pedestrian program coordinator. I'm Angie Fenton with Jeff Miller of VO2 Multisport. Get fit, Louisville.